You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
Inside us, we're all created with like these wires and these tendencies kind of within us that make up who we are. And they're the tunes that make up who we are, whether they're good or they're bad. And the enemy, listen to this, only has to come and whisper over us something at the right frequency, the right words to that wire to resonate within us. He doesn't have to touch us. And we're all built with these chords that can be resonated through just a whisper. And that is all the enemy has to do. Whisper the right tune, and that thing within you will sing its song.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Thank you guys for worshiping with us tonight. We're not done yet. We get to hear from the wonderful Carissa. Yes, you guys should cheer for her. I'm excited too. It never makes me sad to hear from Carissa. So yeah, give her one more round of applause though. We need to hype her up. There.
Thank you. I am just humbled that I am being trusted with a mic for some other purpose other than to give you guys announcements. And so before I start, I just want to pray because this is a little different for me. So Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Would you just be present in this place? Would it be your will that would be spoken tonight? Would you open hearts and minds? And I pray this in your name. Amen. So as I was preparing, for tonight, I really felt like God was asking me to speak to you from a specific verse, from Galatians 5, and we'll get there in just a second for those who want to flip ahead while I continue to ramble a little bit. So this idea was put in my heart that we were called into a freedom that is active and overflowing. And as I was looking at examples in my life, and I was reading through commentaries, and I was flipping through scripture, and pictures were starting to form in my mind, and I was getting incredibly excited. And then it got really hard. I felt like I was starting to walk through mud as I was preparing. I felt like I was running into brick walls. At one point, I was like, I just feel like I got hit by a baseball bat. And as I was struggling for a few weeks kind of with what was happening, and let's be honest, I was struggling in a way that I didn't really understand the real battle that was happening, was that I just realized that it was as if the harder I tried, the thicker the resistance was. And then last prayer and worship night, our friend Crystal spoke, and she was talking about the story from Nehemiah 4, how there were men building walls, and they had tools in one hand, and then they had weapons in the other. And so it was so that they could continue to move forward and not lose the ground that they had already gained. And it occurred to me that as I was walking kind of through this real-world example of that story, that it's exactly what I was dealing with as I was preparing for this. So in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." I heard this analogy about a piano and the enemy. And it really spoke to me. And you'll understand, because if you know anything about my household, I have two boys, and music is a big thing. My boys, it's like band life. You know, some people have football, sport life. Some people have this very outdoor nature. We are band. I mean, the football team plays a game, so that way there's a halftime portion so the band can perform. Like, that's the only reason why football exists. So it's all band, and my boys play multiple instruments. Primarily, they both play piano. So when I heard this analogy about the piano and the enemy, I went to my boys like, "Is this true?" And then I went to, you know, their former teacher, Janelle. I was like, "Is this true?" And so I got really, really excited. So basically, what it was telling us, so the piano is made up of a bunch of wires and strings, and when a key is pressed, a hammer hits it, and it makes a tune. It resonates, and you hit multiple keys, and you get these beautiful tunes. But did you know that you don't have to hit the wire for it to resonate? You can sing to it. And I was like, what? Like, really, you can just sing? I'm not going to do that. You don't want me to do that. And so I looked it up. I was like, why does this work? And it said online, on the magical, I think it's like the little AI Wikipedia that exists now. It said that when the person sings at the same frequency as the piano wire, it creates a resonance effect. And this resonance frequency occurs when the natural frequency of the person's voice matches the natural frequency of the piano wire. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, right? Well, in this analogy, it took it a step further, because you're like, Chris, what does it have to do with the enemy, right? It says, well, inside us, we're all created with like these wires and these tendencies kind of within us that make up who we are. And they're the tunes that make up who we are, whether they're good or they're bad. And the enemy, listen to this, only has to come and whisper over us something at the right frequency, the right words to that wire to resonate within us. He doesn't have to touch us. And we're all built with these cords that can be resonated through just a whisper. And that is all the enemy has to do. Whisper the right tune, and that thing within you will sing its song. Now, there are many lies used by the enemy, and not all lies will resonate with you. We each have our own little wires that we've tuned just right. And as I was preparing for tonight, and I was finding myself slugging through the mud, I discovered that for me, it was the same old lies. You're not good enough. You're not worth it. And as the enemy was whispering his lies over me, I was allowing a retuning of these wires, these lies that resonate. And it made me realize that this was ground I had already conquered. In some other season of my life, that this was like front and center again now, because I had dropped my weapons of his word and of his presence as I was preparing and using tools to forge forward. See, I know that I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I am an image of the living God. God called me to life for a purpose that he deemed me worthy despite all of my failings. And trust me, there are quite a few. But yet he still chose to die for me, a death that was suffering, painful, and cursed. But he knew it was so I could live. See, I am good enough. I am worthy. And so are you. Like, I know this. But I was losing this ground as I forged forward. So are you putting weapons in your hand? The sword, the truth of his word that speaks life. Because did you know that those same wires that are tuned to lies can be tuned to him? And that the Holy Spirit can come and speak to us, and that can resonate. Or have you laid down your weapons, even unintentionally? Like, I didn't intentionally say, like, I don't need that one anymore. You know, like, have you laid down your weapons and gotten busy, getting busy with the next thing? In Galatians, a little bit before that, in chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, it says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. How are you allowing the enemy to cut in on you and speak, whisper into your life with lies? Because Galatians 5:13 says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Who cut in on you? In Galatians 5:8, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. So there's this cool thing that starts to happen when you're studying God's word, and it's been super exciting for me. So you think that you're studying over here with one purpose and one reason, what you're studying for a presentation or something, and you're studying over here because this is your quiet time with the Lord. And the Lord starts to draw connections between these different purposes. And that's kind of what was happening as I was preparing for Galatians, because in Women's Evening Bible Study, plug here, join us on Wednesday nights, it's amazing, we've been studying Paul, and we just completed his letter in Galatians. So in Galatians, Paul is actually talking to a Gentile region of churches that was being asked to follow the law of Moses by Judaizers or fellow Christians as a means of becoming a true believer. They were trying to convince these Gentile believers that they needed to be Jews before they were Christians and that they should obey the law. And this just made Paul really, really angry. And therefore, he wrote the letter to Galatians. And it hit me as I was going through this and preparing for this that it was their fellow believers that cut in on them. See, I had this interaction a few years ago with another believer. It was a situation where I felt I was justified to go and speak to this person. I was going to one-to-one. You know, the scripture says, go one-to-one. I had the law on my side. I had culture, society, my friends. I was just. You know, I was prepared. I went and sought wise counsel and talked it out, prayed it up, and I went and had my words all written out in a very loving way. And as I stood before this person finally, and I was speaking my right, my truth, I became overwhelmed with the truth that in this moment, my right was being used by the enemy to resonate a stronghold in their life. That I was being used by the enemy to derail another believer. Who cut in on you? You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. It continues on in verse 9. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Who cut in? Lord, was it me? Am I cutting in? So what are we doing? For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Is the freedom he has called me into leading me to walk out a life that is active and overflowing? Or is it causing me to cut off another believer or allowing the enemy access to cut me off? And I ask you, what resonates with you? What cords, what wires have you developed, nurtured, or allowed to be tuned in such a way that the enemy has come and is singing an imperfect tune over you? Or have you developed a series of cords that breathe life and joy over you, that overflow to those around you in love to one another? A perfect realization of who he is in you and what he has called you into. How are you protecting the ground that you've already overcome? Are you moving forward into the calling that God has called you into? And how are you keeping guard for how the enemy wants to use you? Because you are either moving towards God or away. There is no stationary place. And have you dropped your weapons in order to pick up your tools? How are you cutting or retuning the wires within you that can be controlled with a whisper? Leanna? Worship team. Oh, here, sorry. I'm going to invite you guys all into a time of prayer and reflection with me to remember the idea that we are called into freedom that is active and flowing and to not drop your weapons. And you want to ask me, Carissa, how do I not drop my weapons? And I have three things that I want you to consider. One is to ponder, the second is to practice, and the third is to pray. What are you pondering in your heart? In Philippians 4:8, it starts off by saying, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Ponder. Ponder these things in your heart. To practice. What are you practicing in your life? It continues in verse 9 of Philippians 4. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Practice these things, what you have seen, what you have heard, what you've learned, what you've experienced, and the God of peace will be with you. That whisper is so much better than the enemy's whisper. Speak them over yourself. Practice them in your home, over your people, your neighbor, your coworkers. Practice these things. And finally, prayer. Take it to prayer, or take it to God in prayer. Pray, one, what is it in me, Lord, that needs cut or retuned to respond to your whisper and not the enemy's? Pray, was it me, Lord? Guard my mouth, my actions, my life, and keep me from being the one that cuts in. And three, Lord, how can I use my freedom in you to serve in love with a faith that is active and overflowing? So I want to invite you for the next song or two that Leanna and the worship team are going to sing to find a place and to ponder these things. To practice them and pray them out right now, right here, and ask the Lord, how are you tuning and retuning the wires within you so that what the whispers that are speaking and moving you are the whispers from the Holy Spirit, that they're not the whispers from the enemy.
So Lord, we thank you, God, for such a good word, God, such a timely word. God, would you help us to be a people that doesn't resonate with what the enemy whispers to us, but God, we resonate from the truth that we find in your word, God, the truth that you speak over us in prayer and in worship. Enemy, we say no more, no more to the lies and the whispers that you have for us. And God, we say yes, yes to the promises you've given to us, yes to the things you've spoken over us. God, help this word not to be something that just goes in one ear and out the other, but God, one that changes us. God, help us to continue to, God, think about this, to ponder on these things throughout the week. God, I thank you that you met us tonight, and God, I ask that you would continue to meet us as we go. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys for being here tonight. The few but the mighty, I love it. And here's our goal for next week. You got to bring someone with you next week, right? There we go. All right, thanks, you guys.